720 WGN. Matt Bobala here with you this early, early Saturday morning. Thanks for staying up with us. Mike Greenberg joins us on the phone right now. He's a photographer in New York City who spent a lot of time in Cuba recently. You're not in Cuba right now, right, Mike?
Oh, no. I'm in New York right now.
Thanks for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate you staying up late. Although it's New York City, so people never sleep anyway, so you're probably up at this hour normally, right?
Yeah. I mean, I am one of those people who kind of stays up late.
Bit nocturnal.
Late. Yeah.
So I want to talk about Cuba quite a bit. I'm also very interested in just the idea of being a photographer for a living and how cool that must be, how much hard work that must be, and how uncertain at times it must be. But let's jump into Cuba first, because I saw the spread that you did that Tablet Hotels put out at tablethotels.com. And I saw it because I think they were really pushing it as Irma was bearing down. And it's funny, Mike, I don't know where you were when Irma was hitting, if you were in Cuba, but here I was amazed. I was saying this earlier to Roger that as the storm was coming, I heard about Barbuda, which I'll embarrassingly admit, I'd never heard of Barbuda in my life. It sounds like the way my dad would mispronounce some other country or something. And then we heard about a lot of other, and then like there was no real mention of Cuba. And I was thinking, boy, you know, we just reopened, kind of traveled to Cuba and stuff like that. I couldn't believe we were getting absolutely no love for Cuba and what they were facing. But you've spent time in Cuba, and were you actually in Cuba during Irma?
No, I wasn't. I was in New York. But to your point, I think we don't hear a lot of news about Cuba in general in the States. It's kind of one of those like non-points that kind of gets skipped over almost in every hurricane that passes over the Caribbean.
There's no, yeah. Well, and I guess a part of that must be the relationship we've had, and maybe there aren't really news outlets there, or you know, I'm sure the Weather Channel must not have people there, or else we would have been seeing them all the time. Maybe it's just not. I just wonder sometimes, is this sort of our, we're ignoring you, or is it just we just don't have things set up properly to talk much? But even when they were talking about where it's going, there just wasn't a lot of talk about Cuba. So how recently were you in Cuba, and how much time did you spend there?
I was there for about a week in May. One of my friends kind of hinted at go now before restrictions start clamping down further on traveling to Cuba.
And we have heard that that is going to, you know, go backwards again. It hasn't really yet, though, right? I mean, it's still relatively easy for an American to go to Cuba.
I would think so. I mean, it was remarkably easy when I went, and I'm not sure it was really changed all that much. I mean, as long as you have family or have some sort of educational purpose of going, I think you're pretty much in the clear.
So how did you find Cuba to be? I mean, most American tourists, I'm going to generalize here really badly, are not true travelers. My guess is you're a traveler. You get out and you really see a country. Most of us go to Mexico to a resort where we sit on the beach and really don't get much culture or much education or get off the property much. For an American tourist, as far as you could see, would you say, you know, it's not going to be that experience of going to Cancun, folks. It's going to be a little more real. I imagine we don't have a bunch of American-style resorts down there at the moment.
Yeah. You're pretty much inundated the second you get there. It's probably the most visually overwhelming cities and countries I've been to, especially Old Havana and Havana in general. I was completely unprepared.
Why was it so visually stunning? What stands out? Old architecture? Is it a bit of a time warp? Do you feel like you've gone back to a previous era?
Yeah. I mean, but within that architecture, it's aged, and there's no other way of explaining it other than things start crumbling, and you're seeing like modern clothing and people kind of lifestyle against these old buildings that are don't really have the same kind of upkeep as we have or have not been restored. And it's beautiful. There's no other way of explaining it other than overwhelming.
So it's beautiful. It's overwhelming. Is it also sad? I mean, do you feel like this is incredible because I don't see it, but also this is, you know, you said crumbling. Do you fear that, you know, when you're walking around there, do you feel like, wow, this is all going to be lost at some point because they're not able to upkeep it? They clearly are not, either don't have the money or don't spend the money on the infrastructure.
There is a lot of construction going on, especially on the roads and the streets, to kind of bring it kind of up a little bit. And there are little areas that are getting built up with these high-end kind of strips. Like I saw something like a Versace. And knowing that the income is not there for locals to be buying Versace, it's obviously for the coming tourists. And I think that's the part that I found a little bit more jarring, where it was like, okay, here's this city that's getting ready for this tourist boom.
Yeah. Were there hotels and things being built that you could see that, wow, I can see that the laws have changed and they're preparing for an influx of tourists that they weren't getting before?
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. It's not like when you go to like Cancun or Acapulco and there's always something being built.
And I wonder if now plans for any of that are on hold with the current administration and the thought that, you know, they might scale back the ability again for Americans to travel there.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that.
Sure.
I mean, I have a feeling there's always going to be some sort of like cruise ship coming through.
Yeah. What were the people like in Cuba and in Havana? Were they friendly to you as an American? Were they, what do they feel like?
Very friendly to me as an American, especially so as a New Yorker. Lots of Yankees fans.
Sure. Well, a lot of baseball players that come over from Cuba. Yeah. And when you travel to Cuba, besides the amazing visuals, is there anything that stands out as part of the culture or as an American being in another country that is different than when you travel to the other countries you go to?
I mean, the given, I think, with Cuba is the, like, classic American cars are kind of everywhere. And kind of as a kid with a dad who is really into old cars, going around and seeing all these cars and seeing the culture of how, essentially, if you own one of these cars, you've learned how to take it apart and put it back together again on the fly. And people are just out on the street painting their cars, taking them apart, fixing them. And I found that to be really kind of beautiful to know that there's still that going on.
I'm looking at the photos now at tablethotels.com. And I do notice that it is a classic car in just about every photo. Are those as prevalent on the streets as we always hear about and think about, or did you have to search them out a little bit?
Oh, no, you can't miss them. They're everywhere.
Are there also newer cars, or is it just, it's a time warp? The cars are from the 50s, 60s, and then that's it?
There are definitely newer cars. There's some Toyotas going around. There's Renaults. It's kind of whatever you can get, you get.
Yeah. And what is the, you know, of the people you met, what are most of them doing for a living? What is the, you know, are a lot of people unemployed, or does it seem like there is an economy that's working down there?
I mean, without going too far into it, there is an economy that's, I guess, working. A lot of people were saying that the most money you can make is $40 a month. So it is a stifled economy. And people aren't really, unemployed, I think it's just a different kind of pace.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people kind of working in restaurants, kind of in normal city and country life of kind of getting by, you know?
Sure. As a photographer, tell me a little bit about what that's like. I know you travel a decent amount. How do you decide where you want to go, or do you just travel and then find pictures where you find them?
It kind of, there's a few different ways I go about it. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, I really want to see this. So it's like, I'm trying to plan to go to India because I love what we in America call Indian food, and I want to know what it's really like.
Right.
So there's a certain authenticity involved in my seeking out of things where I'm just like, I want to know what this is actually like. I've heard a lot about Cuba. I want to know what it's like, or I want to know about, like next month I'm going to Myanmar. So I want to know what Myanmar is like. I hear a lot about what's going on in the north. I want to know how it's kind of affecting life elsewhere.
With that travel, do you decide you want to go to Myanmar and then you're going to take pictures and then shop them for an assignment when you get back? You know, the business of being a photographer, I imagine that unless you're working for a magazine or somebody who's going to pay you regularly, and I imagine those jobs are harder and harder to get these days. So you're really an entrepreneur, I would guess, and you've got to get assignments, find assignments. So is Myanmar somebody saying, hey, we want to do a piece on Myanmar, and you're like, hey, I'd love to do that? Or are you going to go there, find amazing photos, and then figure out who's best to shop these two when you get back?
It kind of sort of came up as a drunken accident.
The best jobs always are, Mike.
Yeah. I was talking to my friend, who's actually a publisher from Chicago, JC, and he wanted to talk to me about putting out a book of some of the stuff that I did in Africa. And I was like, that's really cool. I like the photos I shot in Africa, but I'm kind of over that. And there's not really like a narrative thread, but I really want to go to Myanmar. So we talked for another like 5-10 minutes about Myanmar, and much to my wife's surprise, who was also at the table, was just like, oh great, it just turned into a book about Myanmar. And it was kind of just one of those things where it's sort of a pitch, and kind of also kind of when you have relationships with people who kind of trust what you do, you can kind of go out and do what you like to do and what you love doing.
Is it tough to make a living as a photographer these days? Would your life have been easier had you been born in the 40s?
I don't know. I go back and forth. I've been really lucky in my career. I started in the late 90s when it was all film, and I shot with a 4x5 camera with a sheet over my head for a lot of my career.
Uh-huh.
So since the internet came around, there's a lot more accessibility to work in different cities. And so if you're kind of savvy to that, it's not too hard to get work, but it's a saturated market.
Yeah.
Like, especially with Instagram and everything, everybody has an iPhone or a camera, and people want to be photographers. It's a great job. You take pictures for a living. It's a dream.
I imagine, especially for breaking news photographers, say it's more difficult, because I see so often in working here in the media that we're requesting now somebody who is on the scene, can we use this photo? And you know, it's often somebody who just happened to be there who has their iPhone, which actually takes, you know, a pretty decent quality photo. It's not with the eye and the sense of style that a true photographer would have, but it gets the job done. And in today's media age, I think the standards have certainly been lowered.
I mean, I'm never one to knock the iPhone just because I feel like the iPhone at this point is the point and shoot of this day and age. It's still a camera. It's what you do with it.
Yeah.
And I think for breaking news, I think the sense of urgency is also necessary with, like, makes the iPhone kind of necessary, especially in, like, instances like Charlottesville or something like that, where, like, so much is going on so quickly, and you can't really get to a laptop to upload photos.
True, but the famous photo from Charlottesville is the one that is instantaneous with the crash that, you know, and it was taken by an actual newspaper photographer. And my guess is your standard Joe on the street with an iPhone who gets it out real quick is not going to get that photo. I mean, wouldn't you say that there certainly is, I know you're going to, of course, say, yes, photographers are necessary because they are. And you're right. Yeah, the iPhone's great, but that moment to me is never captured in that way. And with that immediacy and with the depth that it had, if it wasn't for a true newspaper photographer being on the scene.
Absolutely. I mean, nothing is going to replace like a real camera in the hands of someone who knows how to use it.
Yeah. Michael Greenberg spent time in Cuba. He does fascinating work. You can see on his website, michael-greenberg.com. And Mike Tablet Hotels has the Cuba photos. Anything else we should be looking for on the internet? Great places to find your work?
My Instagram is at mgreenbergphoto. And my website is michael-greenberg.com. And there's more of my travels and celebrity work and that.
So Myanmar is the next big one?
Yep. All right. Going for about three and a half weeks. Yeah.
And does Mrs. Greenberg go with you on these?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she does. Okay.
Cuba was her idea.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's good. As long as you can keep Mrs. Greenberg happy, you can keep traveling and working is my guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Well, have a good trip, and hopefully we'll talk to you when you return.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you, man.
You bet, Mike. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone. Again, michael-greenberg.com to see the photos and follow him on Instagram at mgreenbergphoto. News coming up, 720 WGN.